College campuses can be hotbeds of debate on many subjects, which should not surprise anyone since they are places where many ideas are in the air and they are largely populated by young people. But conservatives have long complained that college campuses are hostile to conservative ideas, and so conservatives have made efforts to point up specific examples. A conservative campus group called Turning Point USA now features a professor watch list to put out a listing of professors demonstrating perceived liberal bias in the classroom. There is a chapter of Turning Point USA at the University of Oregon in Eugene and a professor on that list. You'll hear from both in turn. We begin with Jacob Vandiver, who is a student organizer at Turning Point USA at the University of Oregon. Jacob, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you.
Good to have you. Let's start at the center of this. What is the issue that you're trying to address here?
Yeah, so really what we're trying to draw attention to is just how much the modern-day American university has really become sort of a monolith of left-wing political thought and really isn't addressing the intellectual diversity that I think our country really represents. So one of the projects that we launched was the Professor Watch List, which was started up about a month ago and just came out within the last few months. And what it does is aggregate stories from different third-party news sources and puts them into one central location so people can go on, check out some of the professor they have, see if, and it'll range from things to writing books denying the Holocaust to, you know, professors who tell students they can't thank God at a graduation ceremony. So there's a wide range of things. Students can go on and decide for themselves, maybe this is a professor I don't want to take a class with, or I'm now more prepared to take this knowing what I'm getting myself into. So it's really a rate your professor type thing, just to give people some more information so parents, students, donors can make better decisions.
Well, rate your professor, but not like Yelp or one of these places where you get to make online reviews, so people don't get to like vote the professor up or down on a star system or anything like that, right?
No, nothing like that.
All right, so when you talk about the news sources, though, this has certainly proven to be a major issue in this year. What is a credible news source, and so how do you decide what to include on this watch list as a way of a reference back to the professor and what to not include?
Yeah, so that's a decision made by some of our national staff. We get sources from a pretty wide range of news sources. Granted, a lot of those are on the conservative side, so I imagine a lot of professors would take some umbrage at some of the sites used. But, the truth will out, and if people have factual evidence that a story is wrong, then they should present that to us and we'll get it fixed. I mean, we don't want to be spreading misinformation at all.
Well, I mean, you've got references, just the few sites I've looked at, you've got references to Fox News stories, things like that. I mean, there are organizations that at least purport to put out some straightforward news. But I mean, if you go into the realm of things like InfoWars or National Enquirer level things.
Yeah. I think I can't speak for specific instances because I'm not familiar with each individual case. And I believe, I don't know about National Enquirer, but I think InfoWars has been linked in one article. And I would say for instances like that, you want to follow up with the sources, see what the evidence presented there are with the individual cases. And if there's evidence against it, then we need to take it off.
The term watch list itself can certainly be a provocative one in our time. I know you weren't involved with the national decision here, but do you have any idea of what led to the settling on this approach?
I'm not sure what the exact reason for the watch list name was.
All right. Is it only liberal views that will get a person on the watch list?
So for now, I don't think we have a strict criteria with that, but that is the main focus, is sort of liberal, more hostile to conservative views. I suppose if a group of liberal students wanted to compile a list of can you still hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sorry, I got another call really quick. I suppose if a group of liberal students wanted to get together and put a conservative watch list together, it wouldn't take them very long because, in my experience, there's not too many conservative professors on college campuses.
Well, all right, then that comes to a major point here. I mean, if the problem is that you don't feel like you feel like conservative views are underrepresented on campus, has that got as much to do with people simply disliking conservative views or simply not having been exposed to much of them through their lives?
Yeah, I think we live, especially in today's modern society, and I think there's been a lot of talk about this lately. It's really easy to sort of get into political bubbles. I mean, I grew up in Eastern Oregon, and I can tell you, growing up in Eastern Oregon and then moving over to the western side of the state to go to college. It's two very different worlds there.
Absolutely. And so what I'm saying is that, I mean, you just arriving on campus as somebody who probably came from a conservative background, you're already in a different environment alone, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess so. The question gets to, is it just that the conservative ideas are shunned, or is it just that they're outnumbered?
You know, I think it really depends on a case by case basis. I mean, I had a lot of really great professors that you knew were liberal, but they were able to give everyone a voice. They were able to let people sort of argue it out. And then you do have professors who sort of abuse their power and, you know, squash the views of conservative students and campuses.
We're talking to Jacob Vandiver, who's a student organizer with Turning Point USA, a conservative group on campuses across the country. He is with the University of Oregon chapter. And we're talking about the professor watch list, which indicates professors who have, in the eyes of the people who put together the site, demonstrated a liberal bias in the classroom. There is a professor at the University of Oregon who's been listed. We'll be talking to John Bellamy Foster in just a little bit. You can join the conversation now at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So is there any differentiating between statements in course material and statements made outside the classroom, for example? Can a professor end up on the watch list for things that are just unrelated to academic duties, but things they've said in other venues?
Yeah, there are instances where professors can end up there based off of articles or papers they've published, public speaking events. I think there was one instance where a professor got on the watch list for crashing a college conservative student event and having a profanity-laced tirade. So there are things outside of the classroom specifically, and that's listed in, on the site.
All right. I noticed that there is six people featured at the Turning Point USA site nationally, though, or that shows the watch list generally before you get into the specific campuses. First person on there is Arthur Butts, who is an engineering professor at Northwestern University, who's a Holocaust denier. And I don't know that that's a liberal viewpoint. I don't know that it's a conservative viewpoint either. How would you characterize that?
I think it's a viewpoint that can be pretty offensive to folks regardless of political stripe. So, I wouldn't necessarily characterize that as a liberal viewpoint either.
All right. So we were just talking about the fact that there can be some statements made outside the classroom that can get a professor onto this watch list. Even within the classroom, though, I mean, how much effort is made to find the difference between activities aimed at convincing people of a viewpoint, get them to adopt that viewpoint, versus provoking thought and provoking discussion and sometimes uncomfortable discussion at that?
Okay, well, and absolutely. I mean, we don't, the purpose of this site isn't so, you know, conservative students can all of a sudden start avoiding, you know, professors who are going to challenge them. I mean, I think that's one of the best parts of college. But there's a very different environment when a professor says something to the tone of, you know, I believe in more gun control, here are the reasons why, and a professor say, the NRA and their supporters have blood on their hands. You know, one leads to a very engaging conversation about public policy, and one, you know, really shuts down debate and tries to shame people for their beliefs.
But what about if they say both statements? I mean, they're provoking people, certainly, but then they're also leading into a more factual basis for what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, and the great thing about the site is people can look and see what the professors have said and discern for themselves how they feel about that. I mean, we're not advocating for anyone to be fired or censured. We're not indicating anybody go harass any of the professors. All we're saying is here's a resource for students to use so they can know what they're getting themselves into.
In your own experience, Jacob, at the University of Oregon, have you witnessed some activities in classroom that made you go, huh?
Okay, so I actually graduated from Oregon State University, but I work with the University of Oregon group on campus. And most of my professors were really good. I mean, they were definitely all liberals, but they were great people that I learned a bunch from. I would say there were a handful of classes where dissenting voices were shut down, but nothing too extreme.
Shut down how?
Oh, pretty much just people not being able to voice counter opinions in the classroom without the professor interjecting and immediately silencing them.
Really? Just saying, I don't want to hear from you anymore or something along those
lines?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay, we're talking again to Jacob Vandiver at Turning Point USA at the University of Oregon, where he's a student organizer, not a student himself. You're not a student at the University of Oregon, is that right?
That's correct. Recently graduated, so now I work with the Turning Point USA clubs across the state.
Okay, let's take a call here. Here's Paul in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jacob Vandiver.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to recommend very highly a book that's on point to this. It's called The Closing of the American Mind. It's written by a gentleman by the name of Alan Bloom back in 1987, so I cut my teeth on it. It talks about how the higher education system has failed our democracy, and how it's failed our democracy is that the academia was set up to be a reflection of the Enlightenment liberal discourse in which we were searching for truth, as opposed to what has come to be, which is the progressive mindset, which is to say that that some scientific theory has been proven, so therefore what we have to do is move the populace to the conclusions that were reached with that particular piece of science. Our global warming, for instance, it's for people that want to actually discuss this and discuss the alternatives to global warming solutions, you can't just drive the conversation by saying that this is just settled science and that anybody that disagrees with it is a kook. And that's what's going on in the university campuses, and has been a topic of conversation now for at least 30 years.
But, Paul, if it is settled science, what else would you call it?
Well, for instance, it may be settled science that there is global warming. Then the question is, what do we do to effectively deal with that data?
Mm-hmm.
Are we following the right policies? What are the unintended consequences of the policies that we decide to pursue? That is certainly not settled either economically and or politically.
All right.
You have to have a mindset where to disagree with somebody is to be a heretic. It brings us back to the medieval academic mindset, and that's not what an Enlightenment liberal wants to do.
All right, thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Jacob, thoughts on what you just heard?
Well, I'm a big believer in the marketplace of ideas, and I think we just need to listen to what folks have to say, use free speech to counter free speech, and hopefully the best ideas win out, convince the most people.
But do ideas necessarily have equal weight? I mean, this is something that the news media certainly got caught up in this year, the idea of false equivalency, where, just because this person says this and this person says this, do they have equal weight? They don't always, do they?
Oh, no, of course. I mean, there's always more nuance to the conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. So, Jacob, is there some overriding authority at the professor watch list to make sure that people don't just bear grudges against professors and try to get them listed because, they got a bad grade or something?
So like I said, we do take tips, but everything comes through source news sites first. So, we have our staff, and we've obviously had a lot of people come in since the debut of the website with tips. But we want to make sure all those things are sourced and we're getting proper information up there, not just helping people with vendettas against someone who gave them a C.
All right. So is it possible that the things that are considered overtly radical today will be in the mainstream in a few years? I mean, Turning Point USA, for example, one of the major phrases on the front page there on the web is big government sucks, which I don't think was a mainstream viewpoint a few years ago.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I don't think radical is necessarily the dirty word that a lot of people think it is. I mean, the thing with a lot of the professors on the watch list is they would welcome and embrace the term radical. I think it's just a matter of how you feel about specific positions on each thing, and people can come to their own conclusions about that when they look over what professors have said and done.
All right, there's only one name on the list so far for the University of Oregon, as of my last check last evening. What got John Bellamy Foster on there from the sociology department?
So I wasn't involved with that getting on there, but I was looking over his profile, and it looks like a lot of the publication that he works and writes for, and I think he would agree that he is a self-styled radical advocating for the overthrow of the capitalist system. I would say that's probably one of his own descriptions from what I've seen about him in his sights.
He does edit the Monthly Review and Independent Socialist magazine, but, you know, when I read the material that Turning Point USA provides on Professor Foster, he's certainly not the first person to say that capitalism wrecks the environment. I mean, John Kenneth Galbraith said that, and he's one of the best-regarded economists ever.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, but I think going through it, I think he wouldn't self-describe himself as a moderate by any means, and I think if someone is a pro-capitalist student at the University of Oregon, they should know what they're getting into if they sign up for one of the spots.
So, finally, Jacob, how do you want people to use the Professor Watch List? What's the proper use of it?
Yeah, so I'd say the proper usage is really just to prepare yourself. If there's something, you know, if there's a Jewish student who doesn't want to take a class from a professor who says that, you know, Israel is the heir to Nazism, you know, obviously they should avoid classes like that. But if there's professors on there for reasons of what they believe and what they're advocating in their classroom, then every individual needs to make up their own mind on, you know, maybe I do want to take this class and really engage myself and challenge my own positions, or maybe not this term. Maybe my class schedules are too full, and I don't want to deal with the headache of getting in fights with the professor all the time.
Can you hate the way
I think it's up to individuals how they best want to utilize it. We just want to get more information out there to empower students and parents in making decisions.
Can you hate the way a person thinks politically but still learn from them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest problems is we keep wanting to learn from people who we agree with when I think it's the people we disagree with who can teach us the most.
All right. Jacob Vandiver, student organizer for Turning Point USA, the University of Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet.